serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day
the Lord. And you know what, Brother Terry, the older I get, the more gladder that I am. I know that ain't the right word, but that's the way I'm going to put it. The happier that I am that I'm a Christian. The older I get, I am so thankful that I'm on the winning team. And I know some of you folks that's a little bit older than me and some of the rest of us, I know that's in your heart too. The older you get, the further you go, the happier you are that you are a Christian, a child of the King. You love Him with all your heart this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing that one more time with a little bit of gusto this morning. The longer I serve Him, I do mean that, the sweeter He grows. Because I realize that I'm in a world that's turned upside down, inside out, and it is not my final home. I'm just passing through this old place, aren't you? The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. For the more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day somebody's hand and tell them this, it ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. Play something softly, guys, while we read the prayer request. Boys, it's the truth, ain't it? It ain't nothing but the truth, right? I love you guys. Appreciate you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you will. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, have an unspoken prayer request for Brother Terry and Sister Jaretta Stockton. They're asking that we would remember them in prayer today. I want to pray for Brother John Horniak. He will be having surgery on his arm early tomorrow morning. Please pray that God will guide the surgeon's hand. So we certainly want to pray for Brother John that the Lord would just be with him. If you would, pray for our grandson this morning, Peyton. He got injured in a football game on Friday night, broke his collarbone. He's in quite a bit of pain, so pray for him this morning if you would. I want to pray for Jason Roncalli. He had surgery, recently had surgery on his knee. He's suffering from that, so let's pray that the Lord would touch him and be with him. I want to pray for Christy Mays, who has cancer. She's a friend of Donna Pistole, so let's remember that need this morning. Please remember Sister Linda Jablonski, Sister Joanna in Florida. Please remember Sister Linda Jablonski's sister, Joanna, in Florida, for spiritual and physical needs. Also, Sister Linda has a very special unspoken request, so let's remember that need this morning. I want to pray for Brother Jamie Hayton. He's still very weak from sickness last week. And Brother Bobby Hayton and his family sends this in. We want to thank the Lord for working out a difficult situation in our family and helping us to get moved to the Tri-Cities area. We thank the church for prayers and concern. We thank God for answering prayers. Well, we're glad they're part of us this morning, aren't we? Amen. I know it's been a long journey, a long drive from Virginia, and we certainly want to appreciate all of our Virginia and North Carolina and folks that travel a long distance to be with us here in these services. Someone told me a long time ago that, I don't know if that's still the case or not, but the folks from traveling from some parts of Virginia, they'd meet about 8:30 on Sunday morning at Hardee's, have them a little cup of coffee and a biscuit, and drive on down here to church. That's a real sacrifice, isn't it? So we want to say to all of our folks that travel any distance, we appreciate you. God bless you. We certainly appreciate you. And you folks that just try to live, hop and jump from a church, we appreciate you too. God bless you this morning. Somebody told me, I'm just going to go ahead and tell it on him, that Brother Jerry Phillips got a deer this morning. And his coffee pot wasn't far from where he got his deer. It's right in his kitchen, Brother Terry. So that's all right. You can hunt that short of a distance, that's all right. I know he'll put that deer to good use, won't you, Jerry? God bless your heart. Appreciate you, buddy. This testimony from the Newsom family, we want to thank the Lord Jesus for moving on the scene on Wednesday night for our son Caleb. He started having trouble breathing and chest pain during service. The deacon brothers had prayer for him out in the lobby. And then we took him to the emergency room to be evaluated. The situation was brought before the church, and the church prayed. His breathing began to go back to normal. The pain was gone, and the doctor said they couldn't find anything wrong with him, so they want to thank the Lord this morning for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Brenda Jones sends this in, to pray for my husband's salvation and healing for his body. Also healing for Warren Keith, healing for Connie Culbertson, an unspoken request for my 9-year-old grandson and my son. Sister Brenda Jones sends that in. So let's remember those needs today. Pray for all those that are traveling on the highways this holiday season. And if we don't take a chance to say it again, let us say this morning, we certainly wish each and every one of you a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. We got so much to be thankful for. It's not just once a year, the week of Thanksgiving, that we need to be thankful, but we have got so much to be thankful for every day of our life. Every day of our life, God is so good to us. Do you believe that? So if you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about, Brother Skip, come this morning. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's commit these things unto God. Invite His presence into this service today. God bless you, buddy.
You know, Louis said the old people's glad. The biggest regret I've got is I didn't serve Him to full potential every day of my life. And it's been His grace that brought us all this far. We just want to pray for all these requests. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that there's a balm in Gilead, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord. What would we do without you, Father? We thank you for our opportunity to come worship here, Father, with our like faith believers that we can talk to and fellowship with and understand each other. It's just a wonderful thing. You see somebody out in town, and I deal with the public, many, many people, all walks of life every day, but when a believer walks in, it's just a special bond, Lord. It's just a wonderful thing, Lord. And these jealousies and these different things that's in our own natures will be gone one day, and we'll really be able to fellowship with each other. We ask you, God, that you come down, heal each one that's watching the internet, each one that's in need this morning. My wife, Lord, she's not feeling well. I pray you just touch her, Lord. Be with each one in need, and we pray you be with Brother Ben. We appreciate the service last night, Lord. It was cutting, Lord, but it was real truth. It was just such a thought, Lord God. I just thank you for it, Lord. I pray you bless our brother this morning, that he'll be able to bring what we have need of. In Jesus' name, we thank you for just letting us be here. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Skip. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you. All of those that are streaming this service today, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world that stream of this service. Are you glad to be a Christian today?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing an old, old song. Some glad morning when this life is o'er. We're going to get out of here, Brother Terry. Oh, some glad morning when this life is over. My way, oh, to the home, God's bliss will sure find a way. Oh, I'll find a way. Oh, glory, I'll find a way. In the morning when I die, hallelujah.
this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day.
Well, we're in this church. I'm glad to be part of it, and I know you are too. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Brother Ben Norod, his wife, they sang so good last night. How many of you enjoyed their singing last night? Praise the Lord. So we're going to give the service to Brother Ben just a little bit early this morning. Let him and his wife come and just bless us with ever how many songs they want to. I told Brother Norod, Brother Jimmy Witz and I were visiting with him a little bit last night before service. It was a time, Brother Terry, I'll just tell you this, it's kind of funny. Brother Tim Pruitt was visiting with us. And you know, he preaches. And he preaches. And he preaches. And I love him with all my heart. I appreciate Brother Tim Pruitt. He's a wonderful, wonderful brother. But I told Brother Donnie, I said, I'm going to cut the preliminaries just a little bit short tonight and give Brother Tim plenty of time to preach. And Brother Tim heard me and he said, sing as long as you want to. Sing 8 or 10. I'm still going to take 2 hours. I said, okay. So, well, what's her hurry anyway? Where are you going? Somebody pass you 90 miles an hour to get to the red light so they can stop before you. We're all in a hurry, aren't we? Praise the Lord. But we want Brother Ben. I think Brother Ben kind of took us at our word last night. I don't know how long he was up here, but I know he blessed our heart. He's done a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. And I want Brother Ben to get ready to come this morning, his wife, as they sing for us. And I know he'll bless your heart from the word of the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus this morning. It's amazing grace that has brought us as far as we are today. And there's one thing I rest in. His grace has not just brought me this far, but His grace is going to take me on. You believe that with all your heart? Amen. Let's sing with all of our heart as our brother gets ready to come this morning. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound, all that saved a wretch like me. Let me make a couple of quick announcements just before we give the service to our brother this morning. If you have any changes that you need to make to the church directory, Today is the last time to do that. So please go to the library and make those changes. This will be the last opportunity that you'll have to do that. Also, there will not be any service here Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night. We have service again, Lord willing, Saturday and Sunday of next week. So let's just look forward to what God is. I think He's got great things in store for us. Are you glad to see our brother with us this morning? God bless you, Brother Ben. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you. Love you, honey. Appreciate you.
I got to sing with Louis Blevins last night. That was pretty awesome. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Are you in love with the Lord Jesus today? I so appreciate what He done last night. I'm thankful that, you know, with everything that we hear that comes from His mouth, from His heart, even if it comes a little sharp, a little cutting sometimes, truly it's because He loves us. He wants us to be right. He wants us to be true. He wants us to be clean before Him. But greater than that, whenever the Lord Jesus comes down and does something like He did last night in the preaching and show us where we're at and show us what kind of people we are, I hope we realize that something that He's doing is what we've preached on all these years. We've said when the bride knows who she is, then she can go. And we've always attributed to that the spiritual part, the soul part. But there's more to you than just your soul. And that's one reason why folks have yet to still overcome like they need to overcome, is because there's other parts of us we've failed to investigate. So my brother said this morning, I enjoyed my whooping last night. I said, I sure hope it's nicer today. But however He wants it, that's the main thing. That's the main thing. My wife Samantha is going to come sing this morning. Is it all right if we sing a few songs? Amen. She'll appreciate y'all. And good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. She'll appreciate the kind invitation to get to come. And she'll appreciate Brother Donnie and the church body for inviting us. And we shall appreciate all that you do to make us feel so welcome and so comfortable. I was laughing last night. A friend sent me an email. He said, Brother Ben, you were mentioning about that quote about 45 minutes to an hour. And he sent me this one. It said that Brother Ben said, you're so skinny, you're so poor, you're starved half to death, you say 20-minute sermon's almost too much. He said, you need a good 4-hour sermon just to get you fattened up, he said. Some of you all got nervous right then, I could tell. I could tell. God bless you this morning. Y'all happy to see Sam? Amen. Excuse me.
He's my Lord, there is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my Lord. He gives rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless, there's no doubt about it, He's my Lord. He's my Lord. Storms of life like my Lord. He gives rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt
to believe it, just raise your hand and say amen. Now sing it again.
He's my Lord.
I'm sure every one of us this morning could say amen to that. Yes, sir. I like this song here. I know y'all do some of these songs here, and I don't pretend to try to bring you anything new, that's for sure. But I like it like this. No matter what you're singing, I like to feel what I'm singing. And I don't know if you've noticed up here, but I ain't bashful about, you know, moving my head around and praising the Lord and grinning and hollering and amen and all that. I'll tell you why that is. And that's not because we're trying to put on some kind of a show. That's because I want to give God every ounce of emotion and feeling that I can possibly give Him. Because I want to tell you something. Sam's going to sing to us this morning about blessing His name. And I don't think there's any higher thing that we can do for Him than to bless Him. You agree with me this morning? What greater thing, after all He's done for us, what's the least we could offer to Him, right? It's our praise and our love and our adoration to Him. Sing it for us. Take your time.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas. Your name.
Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor.
Jesus, I'm so glad we have an opportunity to bless Him. Amen. Amen. Let's turn again to Romans chapter 7. I want to speak to you again this morning on a willing and ready mind.
Amen.
How many is ready?
Amen.
Good, because ready or not, here I come. Now let's notice again the spiritual mind, which is the soul, warring against the mind of the flesh. Now, for those that believe that this is Paul prior to his conversion, they're going to have a lot of hard times when they read in there Paul saying he's following one law, which is the law of the Spirit, and then following another law, which is the law of the flesh. If it was prior to his conversion, then where'd that law of the Spirit come from?
Amen.
Comes from within the soul. Because truly, he's a born-again man. He's a Holy Ghost-filled man. And being that this is the time that God is revealing Himself, opening up the truth of the ages, the truth of who the believer is, and God hid Himself in the Old Testament and now revealing Himself in the New Testament, all of these hidden things are now coming open to Paul. And one great revelation that's coming open to him is what a scoundrel he is in the flesh. I think some of us need that revelation ourselves. Well, I know I do. I'll speak for me, okay? Let's read together. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law. Where? In my members. Warring against the law of my mind. Now, this is not the fleshly mind. This is the soul, of course. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now, for you and I, I'm sure every one of us can relate with this particular portion, because at some point, your thoughts, your flesh, your nature, your strain, or whatever it might be, has brought you into captivity. Anybody ever felt bound by the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God ever binds you? The Word ever binds you, make you feel like you're bound? Where do you feel most captive at? Right here. The flesh. Now notice, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. His way out. Hallelujah. His way out. I'm so glad he put that in there. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, the soul now. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now let's read again from Greatest Battle Ever Fought. Brother Branham says, if this church right now could be put together and knitted together with such that every person would be in one accord with not one shadow of doubt anywhere, there would not be a feeble person in our midst in another 5 minutes. There would not be nobody here desiring the Holy Ghost but what would receive it. If you could just get that certain thing fixed. Wonder, reckon what thing he's talking about. You. Now there is where the battle begins. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, how thankful we are to be able to read from an infallible book. A book that tells us who we are, where we're going, and where we came from. In the truth of thy scripture lays the answer for all of our lives. Yet, by human understanding, there's no way that we can tap into such power, such understanding. It takes you, that is the author, to be able to open the contents to our heart. We pray today that the Holy Spirit would come and take the word today. May you quicken it. Make it alive to us. Make it a thing of such spiritual endowment that if there be one this morning, or 10 or 50, that would be hindered or in captivity by the law of the flesh, that the law of the Spirit by the preaching of the order of the word will break that captivity over their lives today. Help us recognize the greatest freedom that we could ever achieve is not freedom from sin per se, but freedom from ourselves. Grant it, Father, as we look into your word in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. The mind is a very powerful object. For being a piece of gray matter, calcium, potash, and petroleum, and the 16 elements, it is truly a phenomenal piece of humanity, a physiological achievement that no man can recreate in a laboratory. The mind, I'm told, can contain better than 4 terabytes of information. If you're Donnie Reagan, that's about 14 terabytes of information. Every mind is made up in a certain way that it is a marvel to medicine. How that the human mind can do the things that it can do. With the human mind, a person can concentrate and with human faith, bend spoons and make objects move. And with human faith and the mentality of a physical thinker, not a spiritual thinker now, but a physical thinker, they can climb Mount Everest facing death and persuade their body to overcome the most dire of circumstances. The mind is truly one of the greatest objects that's ever been placed into our hands. And yet, I think as children of God, we fail to realize its potential. And we allow it to become a lord over our life. Now, for you and I, we must recognize that our mind can be like a little child. You can take a child, you know, you can raise them and give them grace and give them mercy and give them too much, and you spoil them and they turn into a brat. And they just do anything they want to do, and every time they see a store, they pitch a fit, and they don't like this and they don't like that. Wah, 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 I want this and want that. Or you can take a child and you can learn to train it and make it do what it needs to do to be successful, to have ambition, Come on now, don't get quiet on me. And all those other little things. Now your mind is exactly the same way. If you allow your mind to do anything it wants to do, your mind will become a spoiled brat. Well, Lord, here we go again. Or you can train it to do the right things. It can have the right objects. It can have the right, the right ambition, the right thoughts, the right feelings. It's up to you how you desire to let your mind go. But now we all have to recognize that it is because of our thoughts that we do some of the things that we do. Let me give you an example. You take a person that's afraid of heights. Every time they get around an object or a staircase or something that makes them feel like they're high, what happens? Their mind goes to saying, oh, you're scared. You're scared. You don't like heights. What if you fall? What if you did this? What if you did that? So you take that person, if they could ever overcome that fear of heights by changing their thought. And many times that's what psychologists do. They'll tap in to what the person is thinking and they'll begin to rearrange that thought process to get them to understand that there's a different way to look at it. You know what I'm saying? A different way to think of it. Now, in short, that's exactly what the word of the Lord is doing for you and I. For many of us, we came to this world and your daddy said you were stupid and ignorant and dumb. You'd never amount to nothing. Your mama said you're worthless, and on and on and on it goes. And our minds have been trained to think in a certain way. Society has been trained to teach people to look in certain ways and dress in certain ways and act in certain ways. Come on, you know what I'm saying is right. They even tell us that in marketing and science, that when they're going to advertise something for, a Burger King or a McDonald's or some kind of fast food restaurant, that they've learned to tap into the human mind so much for advertising that when they did a study here some years ago about Marlboro, the Marlboro cigarettes, they took several samplings of people, I guess several hundred might have been, and took them in and put these machines and hooked them up to their mind and showed them the Marlboro label. And it never even caused an urge, never a stimulus to cause that person to want to smoke. But then they took the color red and they took race cars and they took things that was associated with what they knew and thought about the Marlboro brand. And the minute they saw it, they began craving cigarettes. Why? Their thinking is what persuaded them to become a smoker. Their mind was so set. And that when people get addictions, that's their thought. I can't quit this. I can't do that. I can't do the other. And it ain't no different for you and I. Some people don't have to be addicted to cigarettes. They can be addicted to the feeling of worthlessness. They can be addicted to the feeling that they're no good. They're sorry. And they're just like an addict. They can't seem to get away from it. But brother, sister, the Holy Spirit is here today to retrain our minds to think differently than what we've ever thought before. In one place, they actually said that to get people to feel like they want a hamburger, they'll pump in the vents the hamburger smell. And they think they're smelling that double cheeseburger, that bacon cheeseburger burning on the grill. And he said, no, they're not. They're smelling RX-347 coming through the vents. Why? Because they've learned the mind is so powerful. The mind is such a strong object that if they can just implant the thought that they want that hamburger or want that cigarette or want whatever it is. Well, brother, sister, if the world can do such a thing and sell iPods and this player and that thing and this object, what if the Holy Spirit could do for you and I today by allowing our minds to be retrained by the word of the hour? I tell you what it would do for us. It would make us the people we've longed to be. Come on, somebody. Now notice this again, paragraph 76, Brother Bram says, now remember, it is not Christian Science now, he says, mind over matter. That isn't, he said, the mind accepts the life. The mind accepts the life. So if your mind is not in a condition to accept, you cannot get life. Now this is the reason, my friends, why so many people sit right in the house of God and walk right out them doors defeated. Because preconceived notions. They think this. I think that. I believe this. I believe that. And that's the whole reason why when a new idea is presented to them from the word of the Lord, something to change their thought, they'll sit there and balk and they'll look at you and they'll look around the building and they'll watch their watch and all that sort of thing. Why? They are not in a condition where their mind can accept what is being said from that servant of God. But children, if you'll listen to the word of the Lord, as the Spirit of God has brought us to such a place in this hour, that as children of God, we're not sitting here helpless. We're not sitting here without an answer to the devil's question. Everything we have need of has already been given to us. But if we could just get our minds to open up and get to a place where we're willing to accept what's being preached, that'll be where our great deliverance comes from. It ain't people that are willing to be taught that I have troubles with. It's folks that ain't so willing to be taught. You can take a person, if they're willing to listen, you can do anything with them. You can lead them here, you can lead them there. Oh, don't you look at me like that. Hitler had that idea. You imagine there's doctors and lawyers and scientists and great renowned men and an Austrian painter with a vision for his people could stand on a balcony and click his heels together, and doctors and lawyers would follow that man's idea. Why? They were willing to accept what he was saying. What more could it be for us, Brother Ted, if we would allow the Spirit of God and open our mind when the Lord comes our direction and say, yes, Lord, I believe you. Whatever you say to me, I'm willing to accept it. So if a person cannot open their mind to accept truth, they'll never accept it. Some of y'all don't know whether to say amen or oh me or ouch or ooh or what, do you? That's all right. That's the way the Word of the Lord does for us. Gets us in that corner we can't even wiggle sometimes. Now notice, the mind accepts the life, which is the Word of God. And there brings the life. Just your thought doesn't do it. But the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought. It's not the thought, as Christian Science makes it, mind over matter. No, that isn't it. But your mind accepts it. Now if you are hearing a sermon come from this platform, and it's contrary to what you think, how do you respond to that truth? Do you sit there and say, well, mama said and daddy said and so and so said, and I believe just like John the Baptist last night and Elias and some of the prophets and whoever else, the reason Jesus couldn't get to them because they couldn't get their mind clean. They had this idea, that idea. Come on, don't get quiet on me. It's the truth. Their thoughts, everything that was in their mind was actually working against them, Brother Daniel. It was working, and how much more is it for you and I? When the Spirit of God tries to tell you that you're royalty, that you're a priesthood that's called by God, and yet your thought is, I'm worthless. I'm good for nothing. I will never amount to anything. You tell me how the Word could ever penetrate that when you're not willing to let it go. Lord Jesus. He says, but your mind accepts it. It grasps it. That's the key right there, is when capital IT can grasp capital IT. Brother Ben said, when two omnipotents meet, something's got to shake. Something's got to take place. But the battleground, the mind, is where that the God himself has to get through. And if you bombard Almighty God with your own selfish thinking, the Holy Spirit can never find a way to get into you. But oh, let us open our minds today, not to a bunch of trash and nonsense and philosophy and vain rudiments of men, but let us open it to the Word of the Lord Jesus and say, God, whatever you need to tell me, I am willing. I'm willing. I'm willing. Hallelujah. That's the thing he says that's got life. Because what is your mind controlled by? Your spirit. Your spirit catches the Word of God. That's the thing that's got life into it. It brings life into you. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. Oh. When that takes place, when life comes down that channel into you, the Word of God is manifested in you. Now, we say we want the Word manifested, do we not? We want the manifestation of life. We want the manifestation of truth. We want to become the Word made flesh, right? We want everything that this Bible taught us, everything the prophet taught us, to become skin. Not just a bunch of quotes and head knowledge, but to become skin. Now, you tell me how. How the Holy Spirit can get down through your selfish channel and get down through your preconceived notions and get through all that mama said and daddy said and this and that. Don't you see why we don't get no father? Because we hold on to our own ideas. Oh, but when this bride learns to shake loose of everything contrary to the Word, that'll be a people that have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, notice Paul, as he's beginning to speak about, you know, the greatest confused church on the face of the planet. Now, the Corinthians is a people, one had a psalm, one had this, one had that, one had the other. They was the biggest bunch of confusion you've ever seen in your life. They didn't have a soul thought that they could hold back to. Everybody held on to their own thing. Kind of like in the days of Judges, every man does what's right in his own eyes. Praise the Lord. And that's what we're living at today. If you think it, if you believe it's right, well, I can figure this, I can reason that. Your reason will get you in trouble. Your reason will get you in a spot to where you are absolutely helpless and alone. Listen, you remember the prophet of God said that when they went away and they left Jesus alone and they left Jesus by himself there on the ship, that the devil thought he would settle the score. He had an opportunity. And he said, when you leave Jesus and you leave Jesus alone, that's when the devil tries to settle the score with you too. Don't think just because you're sitting here in this house, the devil ain't taking notes. Come on, somebody. He is mindful. He is aware that you're sitting in the house of God saying amen to the word of the Lord. And the very moment your mind alienates Christ, the devil's right there to settle the score with you. Don't you see why this man had to take these people and rein them in? Reel them in. Bring all their thinking and reel them all the way into one mind and one accord. Because he knew they couldn't get anywhere until they did. Well, hallelujah. Some of y'all just ain't going to pull no matter what I do, are you? Hey, some of you believers that pull, help me out. Because I got news for you. I don't care how much the devil don't like this, I'm preaching it anyhow. I know, I can feel it. You ain't hiding from the Holy Ghost. You squirming like I don't know what. You're like a cat on a hot tin roof. That's all right. If you'll ever let go of that selfishness, the Holy Ghost will do something with you. I'm a nice guy. I really am, I promise. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now watch, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, not worldly people, brethren. Now watch how carefully Paul addresses these people. He's not trying to say, now this letter's to everybody. It wasn't. This letter was only to a select group of people. Amen, Brother Jimmy. Oh, glory. That was only to the elected ones that had that covenant. Ooh, glory, glory. Only them ones that had that seal of God. I want you to know, if you are in that church, you can't get kicked out of it. The Holy Ghost, once he puts you in, he won't take you out. So when you are hearing these things preached, stop letting the devil tell you that he's about to kick you out. Jesus can't kick you out if he puts you in. Well, glory to God. Come on, Brother Ben, preach it. I will. Now notice he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all, he was kind of a southerner, wasn't he? You know, Paul really was a Bill Hilly. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. He said, Christ above all, through all, and in y'all. Where in the world did that come from? He said that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Lord have mercy. All right. Okay. Now tell me how we're supposed to get there. You talk about a miracle. To get two people with their two ideas, their two raising, their two culture, their two this, their two that. To get them there, Brother Charlie, you talking about a miracle. Ooh, Lord. That God himself will have to make this come to pass. God alone. Yes, sir. Notice he said that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together. How, Paul? How? In the same mind? And in the same judgment. So how are we supposed to have the same mind? Now last I checked, there's northerners, there's easterners, there's westerners, there's southerners in this building. Everybody's been raised differently. I'm a worthless nut, a Buckeye is what a Buckeye is, a worthless nut. I come from the state of Ohio. All my family come from the south, so I was a northerner raised like a southerner.
That's right. You talk about mixed up. That's worse than German and Irish. Come on, don't you look at me that way. Everything about us is a mixed up affair. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. Now, listen to me, Happy Valley. If we are going to come to the spot as children of God, to where that we all have the same mind, then there must be one standard. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. There must be something that you and I can come to a mutual consensus of. Oh, glory. It's not my idea, not your idea, not Charlie's idea or Terry's idea, but there's one idea we've got to have. Yes. The ideas of Almighty God Himself. That's the only way that we're going to come to the same mind. When we are willing to lay down our own and take His. Well, praise the Lord. The same mind and the same judgment. You know, it is not scriptural, it is not unscriptural to judge. People say, don't judge me, don't judge me. It is not unscriptural to judge. Jesus didn't say in Matthew 7 that it was wrong to judge. He said, it's wrong for you to judge by you. Now remember, that same Bible turned around and said that the saints would judge angels. So you reckon the angels have the same argument a lot of folks do nowadays? Don't judge me. You ain't got a right to judge. Christians don't got a right to judge. Yes, we do. But our judgment is not rendered from our own thinking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our judgment is rendered from where? The place where judgment begins. The Word. That's why so many people can't understand when a preacher starts getting hard and wielding the sword of judgment and telling things this way and telling things that way and bless God this and bless God that. They think that man ain't got no love. He ain't got no understanding. He is judging me, bless God. He is. He is, but He's not judging you by His idea. Come on, somebody say amen. He is judging you by what? The Word of the Lord. Not by my judgment. Whatever I measure out to you will be measured back to me. But if I judge you by that Word, I've got to judge myself the same way. Praise the Lord. Notice again, 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now He's not talking about your southern brain. He's not talking about your Georgian or your Floridian or your Minnesotan, whatever you are. He's not talking about that kind of brain. He's going beyond the law of the flesh. Come on, somebody. He's going beyond the law of the flesh. He is digging right down. Hallelujah. In the resources of a child of God, where the most credible part of a being of God, a child of God, is that something that lays inside their heart by the Holy Ghost. Not how they study, not how they memorize, not how they this or that, but God Himself. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. God Himself is living inside that heart. Do we not believe that God can think for Himself? Then why don't we let Him? Our thoughts are constantly getting in the way of His thoughts. I say amen for myself. Notice again Philippians 2 verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that y'all have the most MP3 players out of any church. Praise the Lord. That you got the biggest church in the message. That you got the best preachers that ever graced your pulpit. Huh? Come on now. Now this is people's idea around the message of what they think God's prophet would feel joyed over. Oh, they can quote like nobody else. They can shout like nobody else. They can dance like nobody else. But what would have brought joy to Paul? What was it? That ye be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Okay? Now how are we going to get there? if you think this and I think that and this one thinks the other and this one believes that and that one believed that and used to believe and now I believe and I corrected and now I think and now I got and I did and then I wanted and then I should have and I could have. Then I went, then I done, then I did, then I saw, then I came, then I... How in the world are you going to get there with all that going on inside you? There's one answer, brother, sister. There is one answer to such things. Lay aside your thinking. Lay aside your mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. That's bride material there, y'all. Yes, sir. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So does that mean that we're waiting to get the gray brain matter of Christ? If we're to have his same mind, is we to have the same brain cells as Jesus had? What's he talking about anyways? He's not talking about the spiritual gray matter, or the natural gray matter rather that was in the body of the physical instrumentality of the Lord Jesus. He's talking about a different mind. The same mind that Paul was speaking of, that wars against the mind of the flesh, that wars against his spirit part, that same mind. Not the fleshly gray matter, the soul. Let's face facts. If you use your brain the way it was going to go originally and you use the thoughts of your soul that was before you got converted, you'd have been nothing more, nothing less than a sinner. So what made you different? Somebody give you a new mind. Praise the Lord. Somebody give you new thoughts. Somewhere the Holy Spirit was able, glory, to implant in your mind and in your heart that there is something different than how you were born. Why do you think we have a Bible? Why do you think we have preachers? I am here. God called to reboot your thinking. That's one reason why when servants of God go to preaching something and you feel like you're squirming till you're almost pulling up in the seat, standing up like almost a popsicle frozen, you feel like the spotlight's on you. Don't you know what the Holy Ghost is doing? He's trying to hit your reboot button. You keep squirming, you keep moving and dodging. He can't get to it. Oh, but don't worry. He knows where it's at. Again, notice in Titus chapter 1 verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. They think like dirt, so they act like dirt. I know you started pointing your fingers out to the world, but I'm talking about some of us too. Hey, don't try to fool yourself into thinking that people that believe this message don't have that same mentality sometimes. There are people around this message that have hog pen mentality. You remember the prodigal when he come back, you know, he had that hog pen mentality. He said, I'll be just a servant. I'll just be a servant. And what did daddy say? He said, come on in, son. You're of my blood. You're of my lineage. Kill the fatted calf. Bring him the robe. Oh, that's the grace of God. But here's this prodigal with what? Hog pen mentality. He doesn't believe he's worthy. He doesn't believe that God will even accept him. He don't believe that he can even be loved by God. Woo, come on, Happy Valley. Oh, there are so many that sit right here in the house of God and they have dirt mentality. After all, that's what you're made of, dirt. Praise the Lord. Notice again, Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Now notice the criteria coming again. He says, I will be to them God and they shall be to me the people. But before that happens, he's got to get the law into their mind and write it into their heart. So if it doesn't enter into the mind and you accept it, yes, it's the truth. Yes, I believe it. Yes, I'm here, Lord Jesus, whatever you have. If it can't get through the barrier of the wall of the mind, it will never be accepted into the spirit. And God cannot be your God and you cannot be his people. Lord have mercy, what a mouthful. So the criteria to get this God to be a part of your life, He's got to get past your stubborn mind. Oh, Lord, come on, somebody. Don't you realize that's the reason why we struggle so often? It's not the Word. It's our minds. Whenever you come down and you got more month than you do money, what is your thought? Now, I'll tell you, if you had the mentality of saying, Lord Jesus, I pay my tithes, I give my offerings, because the Bible said if I'll do so, that you'll take care of me. You will let my, you know, my leaf not wither and my fruit will bring forth in right time and so forth, and I won't live under a curse. And you come down and you got more month at the end of the month than you do money. So what's your thought? Oh Lord, oh, get a credit card. Get a loan. We in trouble. We going down this time. Mayday, mayday, this is Titanic calling in. We've hit the iceberg. And then you walk around, if you're a wife, you make your entire family nervous. If you're a husband, you about drive your kids and wife crazy. Why? Your thought. Your thought. You are thinking that this is the end. You are thinking, oh, come on, somebody. You are thinking that God can't do it. And then when the Lord Jesus proves you to be a liar. How many of us repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry I thought that way. And He's done it over and over and over. Listen, 10 years ago when I started full-time in the ministry, I left a good job and I left stability and all that. I left and I didn't have no promise of nothing. I bellyached. I groaned for an entire year, Brother Charlie. I told the Lord over and over again how this was the end. 10 years later, I said, God, I am so sorry. Thank you for letting me know. I was a bigger liar than I realized. Why? Because if you trust the Lord, He promised to take care of you. But what gets you into that doubtful thing, that fearful thing, that worry and worry, 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 worry? You're thinking. Lord Jesus, He's trying to deliver us of some things. I hope you're listening. I hope you're accepting. Notice again in 1 Peter 5:2. Feed the flock of God. Boy, I wish some preachers would learn that lesson. Well, anyhow, excuse me, Lord. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Well, I guess I got to go to church this morning. Bless God. Said one time, you know, I said, the wife come in, knocked on the door, said, honey, it's time for church. I don't want to go. Why not? I don't like them people. Them people don't like me. So you got to get up and go to church anyhow. I said, why? Give me one good reason. She said, first of all, you're the pastor. Not of, oh, bless God, you leave my church. You're going to hell if you leave my church. But look at how Paul says that you are to thank up here and out there. You see, a man that's willing to help you, he's willing to hear anything the Lord says to him to help you. Some of you are so mad, you are biting your lips right now. You are hot. Man, you are hot. That's all right. That might help you a little bit. At least it'll keep you from a hotter place later. Praise the Lord. Now think, friends, if the Spirit of God could bring a man to the platform and he's not willing to open his mind to what the Lord would tell him to preach, where would your lives be at today if you had such a man behind this pulpit? Somebody that would close their mind when the Lord Jesus would say, preach it this way, go that direction, bring it this way. I tell my folks back home, that sounds, I must be crazy to them in some way. I say, you may not realize this, but the Holy Spirit, even while I'm preaching sometimes, I'll feel it in my body, in my mind. The Lord will say, turn this direction or make this certain motion or go this way. Do you see? If we can be under such control and governed by the Holy Ghost, what's any different Jesus telling me how to preach and telling Brother Branham to turn and keep walking? Maybe God would tell some of you to say, amen. I would to God you get that thought in your mind a few times this morning. But if you're not willing, then look at how the service can be constrained. A man goes to preach and he's got this thought, oh, if I say that, so-and-so's going to get mad and so-and-so ain't going to like me no more. And I better hold back on that because, you know, that's the biggest tie-pair in the church. If a man gets that in his mind, he'll never obey the Spirit of God. All right? If that's the case, what about the congregation? If they think he's to be nothing more than a stinking puppet, then they'll never hear anything the Spirit of God will lead him to say. If they think he ought not preach a certain way, or if they think he ought not be this or be that, come on somebody. Whatever they think, how could that man ever get over to them? He can't do it. But for those that open their mind and say, Lord, wherever you lead him, there I am also. That's the people, friends. That's the people happy about it. That will make the kind of Christians God desires. Thank you, Lord. Feed the flock of God. So if he says preach certain things, and maybe people don't want him to preach certain things. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Then if their mindset is, he ought not have said that. He ought not have thought that. He ought not have this. He ought not have that. He ought not have that. Do you understand what you're doing when you close your mind up because you think he's in the wrong direction? When you close your mind up, you may rob yourself of many, many great blessings of God by closing yourself off of where the Lord wants to take you. That don't just go for your pastor friends. That goes for any man that graces your pulpit. I know some people, and I don't say this any harm against you all or nobody else. I don't mean any harm when I say this. But certain people, if it's not a certain preacher, not a certain church, or not a certain thing, they just don't feel like it's from the Lord. Where did you get that idea from anyways? Didn't come from the Word. Praise the Lord, Happy Valley. Didn't come from the Word because the Word doesn't teach make your selective. This ain't no buffet. This ain't no selection criteria. This ain't no polling place to get what you want and what you want. This ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way neither. Oh, glory! But whatever the Lord Jesus sends, that's what we want. Do you honestly think that I want to preach in a hard manner like this? No! No! I'd rather preach on something where you all be just tearing the walls out. But if I close my mind and I say no, then the Holy Spirit can't help you when you've got a need. And you know where I belong? On the pew with my mouth shut. Which is where a lot of preachers belong. Come on, get mad at me. I dare you. I dare you. I know where I'm standing. That's the reason the people aren't helped like they should be. But you've got some compromiser. You've got some yellow-bellied coward standing there in the pulpit not telling the people what's right. But his thought, his thinking, his idea, he don't care about your soul. He cares about your money. Popularity, your attendance, that's all he cares about. But a real man of God full of the Holy Ghost, he don't care if he preaches to the post. He wants what God wants. He wants what God wants. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why these bunch of sissies need to sit down. Because they ain't helping the people. Standing up there and just reading, thumbing through a few quotes and fumbling to find a text. Starving children sitting there waiting for one morsel. One crumb, one little bit of life that can deliver them from this hell they live in. Come on, somebody. And these bunch of sissies want to stand in the pulpit and just say it in a way not to hurt anybody's feelings. You cowards, you. A real servant of God, he may doesn't want to hurt you, but he knows if he's going to get you right, sometimes he's got to. Not make exceptions, not make a bunch of hand-me-down exceptions. But he knows if he don't tell the truth, he's accountable to God. Hey, I don't preach these things for popularity. Because personally, I could care less if y'all like me or not. I'm talking about a popular kind. I want you to like me now. I don't want you to be your friend. I want to be your buddy. But as far as you saying, oh, that's the greatest preaching. I don't want to, I don't care about none of that. I don't want to be a part of no top 10. I don't want to be a part of some great namescape. That's a problem with too many of these young preachers coming up. They've got popularity and being the next Donnie Reagan or Ed Biscoe on their minds. Well, no, we should be is what did God want us to be? What does the Lord want us to be? Do they even realize how these men got here in the first place? They didn't get there because they wanted it. They got there because God led them where they are. Some people think if they can chime in on the internet or chime in on a certain catchphrase or a certain style or a certain this or that, that everybody will think they're the greatest, next, biggest thing. I tell you, brothers, here and around the world, if we are accountable to God for what we preach, let's preach from the dictate of our heart or keep our mouth shut. Sorry. Sorry. It's the truth anyhow. I'm going to tell you something, friends. If there is to be another generation, then this generation coming up, I consider it a warning from the Holy Spirit. They better get their mind off how many quotes they can quote. They better get their mind off how fancy they can preach. I tell you what we're lacking around this message is some good old-fashioned Holy Ghost sassafras, sky blue, St. Paul said, killing religion. What our men need behind this pulpit is a sacred experience with the Lord Jesus on the burning sands of the desert where they get back there and fall in love with Christ. Not fall in love with preaching. Fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah! Fall in love with God! I'm telling you, friends, I've been around this country. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the biggest problems I'm seeing right now. People trying to be the next big thing. Some of you big brothers, be it ready. Now, notice he said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So if a man don't have a ready mind, a woman don't have a ready mind, no matter what God tries to say to them, they'll never receive it. They'll never hear it. Because he's got to get through your mind first. Now, in speaking of thoughts, there's all kinds of thoughts. There's heart thoughts, greed, adultery, unbelief, suspicion. There are Satan's thoughts, communicated Genesis 3, Matthew 4. God's thoughts, St. John 1, Isaiah 14, 7. Human thoughts. Painter thoughts, housewife thoughts, factory worker thoughts, preacher thoughts, etc. Remember, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God. What? What? Will bring it to pass. So what if you have the wrong mental attitude? That's all right. Some of you are shaking loose. I'll get the rest of you before it's over with. So what if you got the wrong mental attitude? Huh? Come on, tell me. What'll happen? The word can't come to pass. The only way you can do it is you have to have the right mental attitude. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean come in and say, well, I believe the message. Praise God. I'm a message believer. Bless God. But it means that whatever the word says, you are willing and ready to accept it. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's notice this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Now, I know we've read this a gazillion times, but we're going to read it a gazillion and one, okay? Now, here is Jesus being confronted by the tempter, by the devil, being put into a position where Satan is trying to change his thought. All right, now watch. Then was Jesus led up by a tape player into the wilderness. That's how some people believe their leadership comes. I believe sometimes they think that the only thing that leads them is a book or a tape or a Bible. Listen, your Bible ain't your leader. The Holy Spirit is your leader. The Holy Spirit uses His Word to lead you. But if you didn't have a Bible, if you didn't have a book, if you didn't have a tape, if you didn't have a preacher, the prophet said you could whip the devil. If you was a million miles from a preacher, you could whip the devil on the Word. Why? Because you've got the Spirit. Oh, glory! You've got the Spirit of God to lead you, guide you, and direct you. Praise the Lord. Then was Jesus led up of... Help me. The Spirit, right? Who's leading him? God. To be... What? Tempted of the devil. So you mean the Spirit of God leads you to places where your mind can be challenged? Huh. Huh. Wonder if that's kind of what's taken place in this last several months. If the Holy Spirit has not led the people to a place where they can be tempted. Hey, look around. There's more people falling away now than we've ever seen it. Preachers doing this and lay folk doing that. And this one doing this, that, and the other. Why? Because they're getting to a spot to where the Spirit of God is shaking loose. Everything that is not tied to the Word will be shaken loose. Oh God, I pray, Lord Jesus, let our souls, let our minds, let all we are be tied and anchored in thus saith the Lord. Don't let us be tied to some impersonation or to some philosophy or some vain deceit, but let us be tied to the Word. Listen, I have nothing wrong with a man using Wikipedia or any of these other things if he wants to preach. But we do not prove what we believe based on Wikipedia. We do not, but I'm just saying that because it's a common thing we all understand. We do not prove what we believe by statistics. We do not prove what we believe by some man's theory or even by history. We prove what we believe by the Bible. Personally, I don't care what they say about a bridge. Personally, I don't care what they say about a cloud. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter to me what their opinions are, which is what they are, opinions. Don't matter how much historical... Hey, listen. I may look like a dummy, but I've had a little college in my lifetime. And I know this much. I went to school a few years to learn this much. Nobody agrees with one another. You would be surprised the quantitative and qualitative and empirical data that is brought into scientific research studies to get their theological, theoretical hermeneutic terminology. Every one of them disagree one from the other. So what does your history prove? Nothing. If the Bible said God would send Malachi 4:5 and God vindicated him, I don't care what history says. I don't care what science says. My soul is not tied, Brother Daniel, to science. It's not tied to theology. My soul is tied to the Word. To the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to be shook, go ahead and get shook. Because if you ain't tied to the Word, you're going out some other way, if not this one. Call it hate, call it a hate crime, call it whatever you want to, but I call it absolutely the truth. Now notice this, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Lord have mercy, do we believe in fasting? I better leave that alone, that's for another time. He afterward was a hungry. Now this is a real fast. When you really fast before the Lord, you don't get hungry. When the tempter came to him. All right, now let's think. How did the devil show up? Did he show up in a great big long black trench coat, long robe, you know, with pitchforks and big horns on the head and big long red tail? How'd the devil show up? Same place he shows up on you. In your mind. So notice the devil has a purpose and achievement. And he knows that if he can get Jesus, God help us, if he can get Jesus to change his thought from off of the Word, he knows he's got him just like he had Eve. How did Satan get her? Changed her mind. The prophet tells us that he said he refocused her glass, so instead of seeing one way, it became two. He refocused, he re-emphasized what was being said so that the emphasis could change to reflect what he was saying. Why? Because he was trying to change her mind away from what God said. So once he was able to change her mind, oh God, the seed of discrepancy was sown in her heart. Well, if it's that way with the devil, what about a child of God? That the word can be sown into our hearts. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, you know what I love about Jesus? He always had the answer. He still does today, you know. Now notice, if thou be. Now what does that word if really mean? It is implanting, interjecting. It is laying in Jesus' mind the thought of doubt. He knew what the word said about him because the prophet tells us that he looked into the word and it gave him faith to know who he was. He knew what all the prophets said about a virgin shall conceive. He didn't believe that historical trash that they taught that Mary had a secret private affair with a Roman soldier. What if Jesus would have believed data? Praise the Lord. But he didn't look at data. He didn't look at so-called facts. He looked at the word. So the only place the devil could change him at was not upon what the word said, but what Jesus thought about himself in light of what the word said. Ah. Same thing he does with you and I. He can't change what this prophet taught. He can't change what the word said. He cannot change. He said, you're an invincible army and you are more than a conqueror and you are this and you are that. He cannot change the fact that he said one man can put 10,000 devils to flight. He can't change what the word says about you, but he can change your thinking about how you believe the word says about you. Now notice, command that these stones be made bread. But, that's a big old word right there. But in the English language, B-U-T is a grammatical interjection that changes the direction of the thought. Lord. Oh, glory! That's why the Bible said that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. But, as many as received him gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh yes, the Bible said that you were born in sin, shaven in iniquity. You were of the darkness, you were of the world. But God, who was rich in mercy. It is an interjection to change the direction of thought. Oh, glory. So when the devil came and said, if thou be, he said, I'd like to interject another thought. Amen, Brother Charlie. Yahoo! Oh, glory! When the devil comes your way and says you're not saved, you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you'll never amount to nothing. We should open our mouth and say, but Jesus saved me. But he gave me a Holy Ghost experience. But he's living in my heart. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But devil, but. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Brother Bam says, you know the old argument. Why couldn't God have bypassed all of this and not had any of it? But God putting Satan almost co-equal with him. Satan taking the things of God and perverting them into evil thoughts. That's what he was doing right here. That's what he does with you. You're not saved. You're never going to make it. You're always going to be this. You're always going to be that. You're going to be just like your daddy. You're going to be just like your mama. You're going to wind up like Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so. And you'll get so mad you'll wake up and you'll be stomping around. You'll slap the dog. You'll kick the cat. You'll get mad at the grocer. You'll get mad at this. Every time you go to Walmart, that lady will be glaring at you. Nothing will go right. Everything's upside down. Why? Because the devil has perverted your thoughts. Is it sinking into you? Are you getting it? Please tell me you're getting this. No, no, please don't let this go over top of your head and miss this. This is a good percentage of why we are not better than what we are. Because we let the devil tell us we're sorry. We let the devil tell us we're no good. We let him pervert our mind. But as for me and my house, I refuse to let the devil tell me such things. If he wants to pervert thoughts, all right, let's do some perverting. He says, I'm not saved. I'm not worthy. I say, you know what? For the first time in your life, when you say I'm not worthy, you're actually telling the truth. Satan says, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. I said, you should know. Takes one to know one. He says, you're serpent seed. I said, you should know. That's what you are. He says, you're not saved. I said, you ought to know that big time. So if he wants to pervert thoughts, go ahead, let's pervert them. Every time I get on the plane, he says, what if it goes down? I say, what if it does? What am I going to do? Grab the wing of my teeth and flap my arms and keep it up? If God's done with me, God's done with me, and he'll take me any way he wants to. Be it by a drunk driver or a plane crash or however God does it. But don't you see what the devil's doing? He's trying to invade your mind like he did Jesus to pervert your thinking about the word. If he can get you to believe that you're nothing, that's exactly what you'll become. Nothing. Some of you that are seeking deliverance for things, do you know why you're not delivered? Because you think you can't be. I'm not even paying attention to that clock. You look at it if you want to. I'm following the Spirit of God this morning. Right. Notice he said, and through there, he began to pervert things into evil instead of good. Now let's look at some examples of perverted thinking. Here in discernment and testimony, Brother Adam says, and bring the next lady. He said, bring here the next lady. You want to be healed. Yeah. Just keep believing. Now why would he tell her this? Why? Did she not know? And when she comes into the prayer line of a servant of God, she's supposed to be believing. He's preached it all night long. Believe, believe, believe. They sang it. Only believe. All things apply. You know what he's doing? He is implanting in her a thought. Oh, when I saw this, I like to woke up the neighborhood. Notice he said, just keep believing. Yes, ma'am. You're extremely nervous, aren't you? Nerve trouble got you all broke up. Notice where the nerve trouble had her. You have all kinds of thoughts and everything. No wonder Brother Bannon said like this, you believe me to be but God's prophet, you do what I say. Was it being arrogant? No. He was telling her how to think. Keep smiling, he said, singing happy songs. Now, what if that individual walked off the platform, as I know some of them did, and they walk off the platform and say, I don't care what he said, I'll do what I want to. You know what happened? They went right back in that same old condition. Now, it's easy for you to say amen when we're reading it off of quotes back in 50s and 60s. But what about you? Some of them same old things that you come out of years ago, you've allowed the devil to take you right back in to that same old depression, that same old nervousness. Come on now. Take you right back. Paul said, don't be entangled again with the bondage you were once made free from. But why is it happening? Because the devil has implanted thoughts, perverted thoughts into our mind and got us all broke up. That's why when you go to pray, the prophet of God said, pray until all them other voices are quiet. But you wake up in the morning and you're on bing, 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 and then you wonder why you were on the biggest nervous mess ever was. Some people drink. Some people smoke cigarettes. Brother Bam said, I should pray to keep my nerves quiet. He said the best thing they could use is a prayer meeting to quiet themselves. Ooh, glory! Why? Because it gets their mind single. What do you want me to do today, Lord Jesus? Glory! Put your mind, your thoughts, puts every avenue of your life in a direction. One single thought. How can I please my Father? Is it any wonder why Jesus was successful? Because his mind was on his Father's business. You get it on yours and take it off Jesus' business and see where you wind up. Well, I wasn't going to say this. I guess I'll go ahead and say it. But when you get your mind on other people's businesses, that was ornery. That was mean as a snake, wasn't it? It's truth. You know it's right. Everybody, I wonder what so-and-so. I wonder. That sounds like children of Israel. Wander. Got their mind on everything else except for what God wants them to do. Hey, every time I go to Walmart, that lady glares at me. She does. Every time I go to Walmart, she'll be happy to every person coming down the line. She'll, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Good to see you. I step up. She goes, howdy. And the devil tells me, see, nobody likes you. Not even the Walmart lady likes you. Oh, come on now. You've been to that same Walmart. Glory! Hallelujah! Satan says, see there? Nobody likes you. Not even your own wife likes you. Matter of fact, I don't reckon anybody likes you. And then you get to thinking, you know what? I don't even like me. Where does this come from? Satan. Implanting in the law of your mind a seed because he knows that your mind has a law that brings things to pass. So if he can plant that in the bedding ground of your mind, he knows the law will take care of itself. The devil don't have to do more than just give you the wrong thought. You'll do the rest. Now come on, y'all are used to hard preaching. Quit pouting on me. Now notice this again. Can I go a bit further? Thank you. Notice this again in spiritual adoption. Brother Bam says, in order to stay with God, be a grizzly bear. I'm sorry, that's some people's idea of it. Stay gentle. Why? Why is this important? Because the Holy Spirit can only drop upon sheep. Those that have a gentle disposition. Brother Mike, if we even got that, if we don't have that something about us that keeps us gentle and quiet and serene, and don't you know that's why the devil tries to get you all worked up? Because he knows that if he gets you worked up and gets you excited, you will grieve away the Holy Spirit of promise. And he doesn't leave you. The seal is always there. But he sits on a limb, Brother Jimmy. He sits there waiting for you to get your mind back on the Word. Oh, God! That's why the devil tries to get you of a different disposition. Not because he cares so much whether you'll win or lose. He could care less. He hates all of us anyways. But he knows if you've got any touch of God at all in your life, he wants to grieve that touch away. Amen. He says, in order to stay with God, stay with love. Is he really preaching this to Holy Ghost filled people? Why is he doing this? Because they need it. Stay meek. Don't never be self-sufficient. Ooh. Now I'm cooking up a great big pot of good old-fashioned Holy Ghost stew right now. So I'm just going to let her simmer a while. Don't get in no hurry. You'll taste the broth in just a minute. Don't never be self-sufficient. But how contrary that is from the way you and I normally handle our business. Now look, I'm not trying to de-Christianize. Some of you people in here probably live very good lives, but I'm talking about going to the higher level. Going to that next step in God to where if you are good, you can be better. If you're better, you can be great. God don't want you stagnating where you're at. I know I felt that thought a few minutes ago. Well, we live good lives. We're Christians. Why preach this? Because we all need to come up. That's why. We need to come up. We need to come up higher. We need more grace. We need more mercy. We need more understanding. The reality of it is, friends, is we are too self-dependent. Me and all the rest of us. All right, here we go. You ready? Usually when I'm on a plane, the captain says, "We have now reached an altitude. Please buckle your seatbelt." Buckle up. Okay? Okay? You ready? Ready? How many's ready? Ready? Come on, are you ready? All right. Never! Never! Y'all said you was ready. I know I coerced you into it. Never use your own mind. Well, praise the Lord. Now, we say we're Christians. We say we're believers. We say amen to water baptism. We say amen to oneness of the Godhead. We say amen to holiness. How many of us are going to say amen to this quote? Good. You done better than I thought you would. Never, never, never use your own mind. All right, then, Brother Branham, what are we supposed to do? Take his thoughts. Ooh, this next word right here, I'll try my best to behave myself, but it's a good one. Let. L-E-T. Let. Y'all know what let means, don't you? Let means let. As in, don't hinder it. Don't stop it. Don't restrict it. Don't push it back. Don't get your own idea. Don't get your own will. Let! It amazes me when you go to give somebody a gift sometimes. Oh, no, 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 no. No. That's where they are with Jesus sometimes. He wants to give them real realities of God. Oh, no, no, I couldn't possibly. Oh, no, do you stop that stuff and let him do it? Let him do it! But I didn't say put your own mind there. Let him, oh glory, let his thoughts be your thoughts. Take them into your carnal mind and repeat them over and say, "Oh God, take away all my doubt and let my thoughts be your thoughts." Now, do you see the power of training that little brat you call a brain? You know, that's the mind of yours that climbs up on the walls and climbs the curtains and dances on the furniture and everything else in the world. And you say, "Bless your heart, honey. I'm going to put you in time out. I'm going to take you to church for a little bit on Sunday morning." Jesus don't believe in time out, you know. He believes in spanking. So whenever that brain of yours starts being rambunctious and it starts jumping on Holy Ghost furniture and climbing from heavenly shades and pulling on the God-given Holy Ghost drapes, you ought to pull out a good old gospel quote and go to whipping that little brat into action. Oh, hallelujah! You got to go whip and say, "Look here, boy, you're not going to think them things no more. Thanks to Calvary, you've got a brand new daddy." Oh, glory! Praise the Lord! But some of us let our brain do whatever it wants to, Louis. We let it think what it wants to think, act what it wants to act, go where it wants to go. Praise the Lord. Now notice, you sick people do that as we're speaking. Just take away, cast away the thought of sickness. Now what happens? You start feeling it. The mind goes, "I'm sick. Oh no. Oh no, I'm sick. Oh, here it comes again. I had this last year. Same old thing." Yeah, what's keeping you there is your brain is telling you, There's no way to whip this. How do you get sick? A lot of times, well, of course, I know there's various ways, but many times the reason we get sick is because we allow it to be. Y'all thought I was crazy. Now you know I am, don't you? Hey, listen, if we depended on God for healing, if we depended on Him like we should, whenever we feel that little something coming up in our chest or that little gurgle in our stomach, why don't we throw ourselves on God's mercy and say, Lord, by Your stripes, I'm already healed. Brother, I don't even take a drink of water at the water fountain, but I don't stop and thank the Lord for what I'm putting in my mouth. But our problem is we're too self-sufficient. We figure we can handle it. Step aside, Michael. Step aside, Gabriel. I've got this one. Take the day off, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Take God's healing thought and let them become your thoughts. Now, one more place before we close. Philippians 4, 7 and 8. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the same Spirit of God that can keep your heart can also keep your mind. I refuse to believe that my mind must be a spoiled brat. I refuse to let the devil say to me that you have to let it do anything it wants to do and go anywhere it wants to go. When the Bible says I don't have to. Y'all gonna get quiet on me, sure as the world, ain't you? Now thank. It isn't the Holy Ghost just keeping your heart, but the Spirit of God needs to keep our minds as well. Because that's where the greatest battle is taking place, is in the mind. So the Spirit of God is here to keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, praise the Lord, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now let's show them, brothers, what the meaning of this word is. To reckon, to count, to compute, to calculate, or count over. Now I know, if you had a fistful of George Washington, Benjamin, Tom, and Frank, and Sally, and all the rest of them, and you want to make sure your dollars was in check, you would count and count and count and recount and count and count and recount. You'd be like Scrooge McDuck. You'd be swimming in your money if you could. You would count and go over and over. Come on, don't look at me that way. Why? Because you want to make certain you got every dollar accounted for. And if they cheat you 25 cents at the restaurant, you'll count that ticket over and over again. If they cheat you at Walmart $1.35, you'll go over and over and over that bill. And the very same methodology you use for your stinking wallet, you could be using for your mind. Don't just let it pass through on Sunday morning. Friends, don't let it just pass through on Wednesday night. Don't let Thanksgiving just be one day that you stop and thank of the Lord Jesus, T-H-I-N-K to T-H-A-N-K. To think of the Lord Jesus and thank Him for His mercy. Don't let it just be one day. Go over and 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 over again. The riches and mercy of Almighty God. Lord have mercy. Praise the Lord. Boy, I'm glad that's over. And I sent my notes to Brother Jim this week. I just hit that button reluctantly, you know. Because I knew I've had this happen way too many times. I knew what was coming. But I'm so thankful it did. Amen. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. It's Jesus. Not me. Not some other man. Not Brother Donnie. Not Brother Terry. Not some other preacher. It's our Lord Jesus loving us. Amen. Let's raise our hands and give Him glory right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for what You've spoke to us this weekend. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, we thank You, Lord. Oh, such powerful things were said to us, Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. We love You, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Amen, 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 amen. God. Oh, Lord, You're trying to help us think right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. All I want to do is love Him. Hallelujah. Just keep your hands up now. Let's just keep worshiping, can we? Don't let it stop here. I believe the Lord is He's certainly in our midst today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise Him. And I'm glad I won't be the same. All I want to do is love Him. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's take it down some, if you will, brothers. I'm an eagle, but I don't fly that high. All I want to do is love. So glad. Our sister comes this morning, said our brother's hearing all kinds of voices, different things going through his mind, spirits tormenting his mind. And I asked her permission, would it be all right if we just joined together in this? Mothers, keep your kids close by you. Everybody be real reverent, because I believe the Lord Jesus wants to deliver our brother. You saints, take your hands, point them this way and help me pray, will you? Minister brothers, Brother Terry, some of you minister brothers, come. Come quickly, come help me pray. Stretch your hands out this way. Now let's pray together, can we? Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand on this young man today, Lord God, tormented by voices and spirits, exactly what You spoke this very weekend. Heavenly Father, we don't believe that the answer's coming. It's already been told to us. So Father, is a confirmation of the gospel in which has been preached. We as a body bind together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Satan, you liar, you loser. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the sacrificial blood of Calvary is pled over this young boy's life. And I condemn you as an imp of hell. I condemn you as a liar. Take your hands off of God's property in the name of Jesus Christ. I command this thing to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. We believe, Father, that as we even laid our hand on him, it was already accomplished. It's already been done in the name of the Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit, we pray, take preeminence, Lord, and press it over this life. May you fill it with a strong man, Lord Jesus. From this moment on, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord now. Now let's say hallelujah. Let's sing it again. All I want to do. Come on, let's let it ring out now. Everybody worship God. We believe the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart, I'm so glad. Anybody else want prayer? You're sure welcome to come this morning. All I want to do is love him. Love his. Buddy, come lead singing for us a little while. Anybody else want prayer? Come by the Holy Spirit's move.
The price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love him, love his whole. Yes, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise him. I know his holy name. Yes, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love him, love his holy name. Yes, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love His holy name. Yes, all I want to do is love Him. So glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love His holy name. So glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do, love Him, love His holy name.
Let's sing this song together as we continue to pray this morning. After all this life is over and our burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. Sing it now. Is over and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. Oh, trials here are sometimes many, and oft times my feet grow weary, till it seems I almost stumble and I fall. But the tender hand that leads me, it's the hand that keeps me steady, and by faith I know I'll make it after all. Oh, after all this life is over and our burdens have been lifted, will hear my cry.
Oh, after a while, it'll all be
open. After a while, the sun's gonna shine. After a while, the clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after a while.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise our God, praise our God. Sing something else, buddy. Keep it fired up. I like that rhythm.
Oh, after a while, it'll all be over.
Oh, yeah.
After a while, the sun's gonna shine.
Hey!
After a while,
yes, sir!
The clouds will pass over. Hey! And we'll hey! Shout hey! Hallelujah after hey! A while. Yes, after a while, the sun's gonna shine. And after a while, the clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after a while.
Well, after a while, it'll all be over. After a while,
the sun's gonna shine.
Well,
after a while, the clouds will pass over,
oh,
and we'll shout hallelujah after a while.
Come on, keep it going.
Oh, after a while, it'll all be over.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, after a while,
oh,
the sun's going to shine.
Oh,
oh, after a while, the clouds will pass over, and we'll shout after a while.
Yes, after a while,
it'll all be over. Oh, after a while, the sun's gonna shine. Yes, after a while, the clouds will pass over.
You better listen up, devil.
Hallelujah.
You better listen up, devil. Oh, after a while, it'll all be over. Oh, after a while,
the sun's gonna shine.
It's gonna shine after a while. The clouds will pass over. Oh, and we'll shout
hallelujah after a while.
Oh, and we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Him on the piano. Give Him a little chord there for Jesus. Praise Him on the guitar, Brother Tim. Praise Him on the strings. Come on, praise Him on the cymbals, Brother Chuck. Praise Him on that guitar. Come on, sisters. Get your praise up. Come on, brother. Help me praise the mighty God. The mighty God, the mighty God.
Oh, after a while,
oh, yeah,
it'll all be over. Oh, after a while, the sun's gonna shine. Yes, after a while, our clouds will pass over.
Oh,
and we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Yes, after a while, it'll all be over. sun's going to shine.
I pray, Lord Jesus.
Well, after a while, the clouds will be sober. And I'll shout, hallelujah, after a while.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I said hallelujah, hallelujah. I said hallelujah, hallelujah. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever thing are of good report, think on these things. If you can't get that Methodist brain of yours up here in Pentecost, spank it. I'm telling you, some of you are letting the devil rob you from a blessing this morning. I know you got your mind on that clock and the internet and all that. I don't care how it looks. I'm in the presence of the Lord. Come on, somebody. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not speedy. I'm not about to wear out. As a matter of fact, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. It'll take a whole lot more Methodist than this to shut me up. Why, our God is in the camp. Our Jesus is amongst us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise our God, praise our God. Give us something else. No matter, whatever you feel.
I bless
thank you, Jesus.
Your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come on, the Bible says when one rejoices, we all rejoice. Come on, everybody now, everybody.
I give
let
you
go, let
honor.
Go, let Jesus bless you.
I give you praise. You are the life, not the truth, the way.
Holy, holy, holy.
I bless your name. I bless your name.
Sing it once again.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise.
Church today? Have we had church today? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. May God bless you as we be dismissed this morning. Hope you have a wonderful week with family and friends. Let's always be thankful for what God has done for us. We've had a wonderful weekend, haven't we? Been a great time to have been in the house of the Lord, hadn't it? God bless you. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You're dismissed. God bless you in the name of the Lord.